I want to thank Peter for that very kind introduction, the choir and all the musicians for the magnificent music. It absolutely is a treat to hear it. And the new friends and the longtime friends who have welcomed Carol and me so graciously to this place. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. You are our rock. You are our Redeemer. Amen. In the country just south of here, we are very enthusiastic these days about blessing. The churches that seem to be flourishing preach something called the prosperity gospel, and they assure those who worship there that if they are only faithful, they will soon be blessed, by which they mean, I think, they will soon be materially very comfortable indeed. Our Thanksgiving holiday, I am told, is a somewhat bigger deal even than yours, and we thank God for God's many blessings, and then we partake richly of those blessings, mostly food. And emails from friends that used to end with something like cheers or so long now tend to end rather vaguely, God bless. I assume that means God bless you, but it's never altogether clear. The text that Norm read from Genesis is about blessing, the blessing of Jacob. But the blessing comes only at the end of the story, not at the beginning. And it comes at a terrible price. Before blessing, there is wrestling. Before blessing, there is wounding. Before blessing, there is a name change. And even after Jacob has been blessed, you will notice, hearing that story, that the blessing looks a lot like wounding. Blessed, he limps away. We want blessing, but do we want blessing at such a cost? Before blessing, there is wrestling. Jacob was alone, and a man who was God's angel, or maybe God's own self, a man wrestled with Jacob until daybreak. James Nelson taught for many years at the United Seminary of the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Please know that he is one of the people I most admire and trust in all the world. And I would not tell you this story had he not now written it for us all in a book called Thirst. For Jim Nelson, wrestling with God required wrestling with his alcoholism. And here's how he talks about that fight. In my 50s, my drinking increased. I continued to function professionally quite well, but the disease was taking its toll. My marriage was under stress, physically and emotionally, problems were emerging, and close friends were falling away. My story is a story about struggle, about wrestling with powers in the darkness, about wounding. This last Sunday of October is Reformation Sunday. We honor Martin Luther, who made us the Protestants that we are, but he had to wrestle as few of us ever have with God. For him, it wasn't some addiction. It was his own sense that the God who was really God must be so upright, just, and powerful that that God was absolutely terrifying. He says that he went to seminary, became ordained, went to seminary classes. This is always a dangerous way to escape from God. Went to seminary classes, trying to get away from his fears. And then, just after he was ordained, came the most terrifying moment of his life, which was the moment when he had to stand at the altar and celebrate Mass, and therefore come into the presence of this terrifying, wounding God. He spoke the opening portion of the Mass, "We offer unto thee the living and eternal God." And then, here in Luther's own words, is what happened next. "At those words, I was utterly stupefied and dumbstricken, and I said to myself, who am I that I should lift up mine eyes or raise my hands to the divine?" The angels surround him. At his nod, the earth trembles, and shall I, a miserable little pygmy of a man, say, "Lord, I want this, Lord, I ask that. For I am dust and ashes and full of sin, and I am speaking to the living, eternal, and true God." Sisters and brothers, if we want a blessing, we must expect the wrestling, the fearful struggle with the God who will bless us only because God will first win us. Before the blessing, there is a wrestling, and before the blessing, there is a wounding when the man who was God's angel, or perhaps God's own self, when that wrestling God saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck Jacob on the hip socket, cheated, in fact, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as they wrestled together. James Nelson tells the story of the moment when the wrestling led to the wounding, which only then could lead to the blessing. "Before I could heal, I needed to hit bottom. For me, that came on the morning of April 20th, 1993. I was in a hotel room 5 miles from my home. The night before, I had run out of vodka, and it was too early to order more. I looked in the mirror, and all I saw was defeat. The strange disease had me, and all my efforts to conquer it had only wrapped it more fiercely around me. It would be some time before I realized what a gift that bottom experience was. At the time, it was just like those horrors depicted in the New Testament. It was my own earthquake, famine, and war." And Martin Luther, wrestling with his own unworthiness and the great worthiness of God, got hurt so badly by God's goodness that over 400 years we can still feel the pain of it. "Is it not against all natural reason," said Luther, "that God, out of his mere whim, hurts us as if he delighted in our sin? Where is the God of mercy and goodness? I was more than once driven to the very abyss of despair, so that I wished I had never been created." This is the father of our Protestant faith. Hear this. "Love God? I hated him." But here's the thing about hitting bottom. When you get down that far, there's nowhere to go but up. Before Jacob could be blessed, he had to be wounded. Before Jim Nelson could be healed, he had to recognize his pain for what it was. And before Luther could know the grace of God, he had to come to the end of his own reserves. Sometimes, dear friends, for all the talk of blessing, the encounter with God hurts. And before we are blessed, we are wounded. And then there's the naming. Wrestling, wounding, naming, the man, the angel, God says to Jacob, "What's your name?" He says, "Jacob." "Ha! It's what you think. I've got a new name for you. You shall no longer be called Jacob. You shall be called Israel, because you have striven with God and prevailed." Now, in Hebrew, the word Israel just means God wrestler. So God is saying to Jacob, "You think your name is Jacob, but your real name from now on, ever after, will be God wrestler." And Jacob, we heard in Peter's prayer, which was very subtle about the blessed Jacob, that Jacob's a rather sneaky guy, and so before Jacob would go any farther, say, "Oh, by the way, angel, what's your name?" And the only person in all of the history of God's dealing with humankind who is sneakier than Jacob is God. And God simply refuses because God can know us, but we can never altogether know God. And God says, I will not tell you my name, but your name, fella, from now on, you are Israel. Brother Martin, Augustinian monk, faithful Catholic Christian, scared to death of me, from now on, your name will be Pastor Martin, husband, father, servant of the Lord. And the Reverend Dr. James B. Nelson, B.A., MDiv, Ph.D., he tells the story. The Reverend Dr. James B. Nelson walks into his first Alcoholics Anonymous meeting after that terrible night and uses his new name. My name is Jim, and I'm an alcoholic. Jacob, from now on you will be Israel. Sister, brother, wrestling with God, wounded by God, from now on, who will you be? But then, at the end, it's always good news, but then, at the end, after the wrestling and the wounding and the naming, there is, thank God, the blessing. Jacob asked the man, tell me your name. Why do you ask my name? And then God, evasively but cleverly, instead of giving God's own name, does what Jacob wanted from the start. God blesses him. From that lowest moment in the motel room, surrounded by a loving family, Jim Nelson found the courage to go into a rehabilitation program and began the long, terrible struggle for his own sobriety and his own sanity. A friend of his and mine discovered that he was in the hospital in Minnesota and sent him a note that simply said, read Psalm 30. And Nelson opened his Bible to Psalm 30, and this is what the psalmist said. For God's anger is but for a moment. God's favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. I heard Jim Nelson tell that story standing in a pulpit, sober, sane, free, and above all, blessed. Martin Luther, struggling with his own unworthiness, happened to open up his Bible to the book of Romans by St. Paul and discovered something he hadn't known before, that when the Bible talks about God's righteousness, it doesn't mean that God is so righteous and we so sinful that God does not care for us. It means that God is so rightly concerned for our well-being that God brings every one of us through Jesus Christ to God's self. I grasped, he said, that the righteousness of God was not God's anger, but God's sheer mercy. He grasped that when we have wrestled with God all night, we discover that we have to do with the God who in Jesus Christ wrestled all night too, that he on his cross might do God's will and bear our pain and take our wounds and draw us to God's self and name us for God's own. When I heard that, said Luther, I had been reborn and I walked through the doors of paradise. What's your name? Asked Jacob. I will not tell you my name, says the God of gods and Lord of lords. But I will show you my goodness. And right then, right there, God blessed him. Blessed him. Dear friends, if this is wrestling day for you, if this is one of those days when you struggle with yourself and with the forces that threaten to undo you, I beg you to trust that God is in the struggle, and that through that struggle, God is leading you through wounding toward blessing, that God is giving you your new name, that you will be also Israel, that you will wrestle with God, and yet you will prevail. When Martin Luther had finally struggled through the angry God to find the grace of God in the face of Jesus Christ, he wasn't content to preach about it, he wanted to sing. And so he wrote a hymn. In devil's dungeon chained I lay, the pangs of death swept o'er me, my sin devoured me night and day in which my mother bore me. My anguish ever grew more rife. I took no pleasure in my life, and sin had made me crazy. Then was the Father troubled sore to see me ever languish. God's everlasting pity swore to save me from my anguish. He turned to me his Father's heart and chose himself a bitter part. His dearest son it cost him. Then spoke God's Son, hold thou to me, from now on thou wilt make it. I gave my very life for thee, and for thee now I stake it. For I am thine, and thou art mine, and where I am, our lives entwine. Nor earth, nor hell can shake it. To Christ, therefore, be thanks and praise. Amen.